Welcome to Be All You Are, a midlife awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kena Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill, and after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, friends. Guess what? Today is the 50th episode of this podcast, Be All You Are. I feel so excited to share that with you because did you know that most podcasts don't make it past 3 episodes? And then people who make it to 10, so many people drop off past 10. And here we are at 50, 1 year later, having had the most profound, vulnerable, authentic conversations with beautiful guests who are at this stage of life where we are ready to step into all we are, where we are ready to not put on a mask and not pretend to be who we're not, but we're at a place where we are ready to love all sides of ourselves and to take our gifts and offer them with generosity to the world. And that's what this brand and this company are all about for me. It is for every woman to follow her dreams and to live her life as a full expression of who she is. That's what this podcast, that's what my company, All You Are, is all about. And I'm so grateful to you who's listening right now. Maybe you're walking, maybe you are cooking, maybe you are just driving or settled in for, on the couch and you just have your earphones in and you're just listening. I want to thank you for being here on this journey with me, for tuning in, for sharing these episodes, for getting off or getting, off of being online and sharing these conversations with your friends and having these conversations in real life and applying what you may have been inspired by or learned from these last 50 episodes. So huge gratitude to you. And please, I love hearing from you. I love having these conversations with you. So reach out to me on Instagram or through my website, and let's take these conversations deeper. And before we get into this 50th episode celebration, I wanted to remind you that coming up soon in a couple of weeks is my workshop series, 2 Weeks Notice. So 2 Weeks Notice is my new workshop series that I created for you, and it really is about giving 2 weeks notice to what no longer serves you, whether that is not being valued at work or work that no longer feels fulfilling or playing small or saying yes when you really mean no. I want us to give 2 weeks notice to what no longer serves us in order to embrace what's next. Our next chapter of soul fulfilling success. And I love looking at life as chapters in a book, right? And I think that there's something beautiful about being able to say, I'm closing this chapter. And maybe it's not always even a external closing of a chapter, right? It might just be an internal decision that you make that I'm done with this chapter of my life. I'm done with the chapter where I second guess myself or I worry about what other people think. And I am ready for my next chapter where I'm my most authentic self and that I believe in my dreams and I go and I make them happen. That's what 2 weeks notice is all about. And I wanted to quickly walk you through what we are going to be covering in the 5 days together. So the first day, we are going to talk about giving yourself permission to transition. So giving yourself permission to transition to what it is that you really want and to shine a light on the dreams that you may have put aside or not even acknowledged. So we're going to, on day one, look at what it would mean to actually pursue these dreams. And we're going to start putting together a plan to bring it to life. On day two, we're going to face your fears. So obviously for so many of us, what holds us back from taking steps towards what we want are the things that we worry about. And at this stage in life, some of the things that we fear are very real, right? We have financial fears, we have reputational fears, we have relational fears, not wanting to disrupt things in our relationships. And so in this session, we're going to make friends with fear so that we can learn how to work with them. On day three, we're going to talk about taking early action because I think where we often get stuck is we want to plan it all out. We want to have a perfect PowerPoint presentation and we want to, you know, just know every detail. But the way that we gain momentum is to start taking early action. So that's what we're going to talk about on day three. On day four, we're going to talk all about who we need to become to create that new reality for ourselves. How do we ourselves need to evolve? What do we need to let go of in order to make those dreams come true? And then on the final day, we're going to talk about the Be All You Are manifesting formula. This is a 5-step formula that I've taught to hundreds of women and use myself to create the path to my dream work, my beautiful romantic partner, and my ideal home, amongst so many other things. And then the following Monday, we will have a bonus session that I'll share more with you about. So please join me for 2 weeks' notice. It is going to be a life-changing week, I promise you. And you can join us at allyouare.ca/2TWO, like the word 2-weeks-notice. And the link to join us is also in the show notes. So you can scroll right down, enter your email, and then you will get all that you need to get set up and for us to be together on Monday, May 13th. And I just cannot wait for that. Now, back to celebrating the 50th episode of Be All You Are. So I wanted to do something a little bit different for the 50th episode. So what I did was I asked my very first guest, Alyssa Kerbel, the founder of Mini Miosh, and Catherine Choi, the founder of So Young, both beautiful lifestyle brands, to come and have a 1 year later conversation with me. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you often watch a movie and the story will kind of pause and then on the screen will flash 1 year later and you'll see where the heroine is next. Maybe she is opening a coffee shop or maybe she has moved to Tuscany or maybe she is parasailing, who knows, doing yoga in Costa Rica. But the idea is that so much can happen in 1 year. And I wanted to sit down again with Catherine and Alyssa and hear their 1 year later stories, right? I wanted to hear their lessons learned and how they've evolved and how life has changed for them. In this episode, or in this conversation, which was a live conversation in front of an audience, we also talk about how having intention around where we want our year to go is so powerful. So when we have intention, make soul-aligned choices, and stay open to possibilities, it's amazing what we can create in just 1 year. As part of this episode, I also share with you a few journaling questions that help you to look back on your own 1 year later story and also look ahead to what you want your future 1 year later story to be. I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation, to tune in on a conversation we had with other women. And thank you again so much for celebrating 50 episodes of the Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast with me. Let's dive in. Welcome everyone to 1 year later. This virtual chat is in celebration of my 50th podcast episode of my podcast, Be All You Are. And for those of you who don't know me already, my name is Kaina Paranjape. Thank you, Catherine. I'm the founder of All You Are, an empowerment platform and community for women. I'm also the host of Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. And I started this podcast because I wanted to have a safe space to have these important, authentic, and vulnerable conversations about what it means to be all you are, specifically as we enter what we call midlife, right? Like this age, like nearing up to 40 and then into our 40s and 50s and even beyond. And really this time in our lives where we start to awaken to who we are and what we really want. And Catherine and Alyssa and I were talking right before we hopped on this call, and we talked a lot about how that awakening process can feel super uncomfortable and messy and disruptive and painful also at times. And what I wanted to do with the podcast was to dive right into that and reframe what it into what can be one of the most beautiful, blossoming, and freeing times in our lives. And that's really why I started the podcast. When I started it, of course, being new and being in that messy place of just, you know, learning how to do this, I knew I wanted my first guests to be women who had their own powerful stories and messages, who would be real and vulnerable, and who I knew I could also have a very easy, in-depth, beautiful conversation with. So of course, I turned to my two friends and fellow entrepreneurs, Alyssa Kerbel and Catherine Choi, who are joining us today. And I'm so grateful that they are. Now, as I'm nearing the 50th podcast episode, which, by the way, this is it. This is the live recording, and I'm going to be launching this next Wednesday, and that's going to be the 50th episode. So you guys are all a part of it, and that means so much to me. And I really wanted to celebrate this in a special way, and I couldn't think of a better way than to invite back Alyssa and Catherine for a conversation 1 year later after our first conversation. And the inspiration for sort of the theme of today is it really came from that scene in the movies where, you know, it's sort of towards the end and then there's a pause in the story and maybe sort of there's like some loose ends. And then 1 year later flashes across the screen in all caps, right? We've all know that moment where it says 1 year later. And then you see what happens next to the character, the heroine in the movie, right? Sometimes she's opening a coffee shop. Sometimes she's moved to Tuscany. Sometimes she's doing yoga in Costa Rica on the beach. I don't know. All these wonderful things that we dream of happening in our lives. And I thought, wouldn't it be amazing to hear Alyssa and Catherine's 1 year later stories? And so before we dive into that, because I really want to hear from them, I want to walk through how we're going to spend the next little bit of time together. So I'm going to do a quick intro of Alyssa and Catherine, and then they're going to be doing all the talking, and I'm just going to help guide the conversation. We are going to talk about their 1 year later stories and the journey, their journey up until this point, and the ways that things have evolved for them and challenged them and how they've grown. Then we're going to do a Q&A. So I'll do that at the end. If you have questions that come up, feel free to type them in the chat, but we may not address them till the end, mostly because this is a recording for the podcast. So I want to make sure that, you know, I'm protecting, respecting your questions and privacy. So I'm going to leave that till the end. And then I want to, or we want to, I should say, invite you to consider what you want your 1 year later story to be. So we're going to leave you with three questions to reflect on your past year, and then for you to really dream about what you would love to be sharing or to have experienced 1 year from now. And then I'm also going to be sharing a workshop that I've designed to help you implement some of this. And Alyssa and Catherine are also going to be sharing how you can work with them and get involved in all the things that they're doing as well. So let me start by doing a quick intro of Alyssa and Catherine for those of you who don't already know them. And then we're going to get started. Okay, everybody good? Okay. Okay, so first let me introduce to you Catherine Choi. So Catherine is the founder of So Young, and I am reading the little bio I have because I could go on and on about both of them. I'm trying to keep it succinct. So Catherine is founder of So Young, a thoughtfully made lifestyle goods brand that specializes in the loveliest lunch bags, backpacks, and beauty cases. But beyond being an entrepreneur and mother of three, Catherine is truly a spiritual warrior. In her 20s, Catherine got clean from a drug addiction that easily could have led her down a very different path. Catherine has a deep interest and passion in exploring different healing modalities and pushing her own boundaries and comfort zone. She most recently climbed the Cotopaxi volcano in Ecuador, 19,347 feet, people. I mean, it's just epic. Yes. So we're going to hear about what led her to say yes to that. I mean, come on. And so much more. Alyssa Kerbel is the founder of Mini Mioche, the locally and sustainably made kids apparel brand, which I know so many of you also know, which she recently sold just late last year. Now, Alyssa has pursued her dream of creating an in-real-life community of kind humans through her Toronto-based Kind Human Club. This is a beautiful space. We just were at an event last week where Alyssa spoke, and it's a thoughtful space that opened just this year and already hosts gatherings meant to heal, connect, and inspire. Alyssa is a lifetime entrepreneur and a mother as well. And like Catherine, she has and continues to deeply motivate and inspire me with her willingness to embrace the journey. But most importantly, and I do think this is one of Alyssa's gifts, is to bring others along with her. And so I'm very, very excited to introduce you all to them. And I know many of you already know them. And I'm excited for this conversation with you. Are we ready? Okay.
Thank you for that lovely intro.
Yeah. Aww. I mean, it's a love fest, right? Like, it's a love fest. Okay. All right, Catherine, I think, well, let's start with you. I want to ask you to reflect back on where you were 1 year ago.
Sure. So a year ago, I was, well, navigating the third year in a row of a very, very challenging situation with my business that really, you know, the decline started at the beginning of the pandemic. And it has felt very much like, you know, the first year was hard, the second year was harder, the third year. And basically, there was a disruption that happened in my business where I was in a really, really difficult situation and had a lot of fear. And at the same time, you know, it has intersected with who I have stepped into being for the last number of years, which is, you know, seeing these challenges as opportunities, right? So just the thing that hasn't changed, that it hasn't gotten easier. It just remains to be hard. And I think that's what happens when you're kind of on the path of growth, is that you're in the fire. You continue to be in the fire and, you know, continuously step into whatever, you know, appears on the path, right? So that's where I was a year ago. Do you want me to jump into the thing, or are you going to ask me?
Yeah, no, why don't you share like the highlights of where you are today? Like if you were to, again, the movie pauses and you're now 1 year later, what would you say your 1 year later story is?
It is clarity and alignment. And that came as a direct result of climbing this volcano that I never intended to climb. Like, no, I never said to myself, I want to climb a volcano. Like that it wasn't that. It was the group that was going, they were a group of entrepreneurs who, you know, the person leading it leads entrepreneurs through adventures in remote places where you do difficult things to gain clarity and alignment. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted. And I didn't actually expect that it was going to work, but it did. and a year later, what has happened is I got very clear on the fact that I was hanging on to dear life for survival with certain aspects of my business without asking myself if it really mattered to me. Mm. And when I came back, literally the day I came home, the next morning, I was in my first meeting with my team, and I had this download and this realization that I didn't actually care about most of my business, that I had actually gotten out of alignment over the years. I had shifted so much, and there was only one part of the business that I still cared about. And yet I was like desperately trying to hold on to all of it, and none of it was working as a result because I couldn't focus. And so I made the decision right then and there. And within 2 days, I started taking action on doing all the hard things, because letting go is hard, right? And it was very much a decision that was about like, if I can climb that volcano, I can do these hard things.
Mm. So Catherine, clarity and alignment, when you look back a year ago, do you feel that that was something you were looking for, that you were looking for clarity and alignment? Like, or yes. Yeah. You were.
I felt like I was in the eye of a storm for the last 3 years. It felt like just, you know, everything just kept shifting around me. And I'd think, okay, like maybe I've landed now. And then something else would like get thrown in my path. And it just went on and on and on until like it just seemed that the worst of it happened a year ago, right? So it was kind of this feeling of like, what more is there, you know? It's really interesting to think back on.
And do you feel like you were intentional about saying to yourself, I need clarity and alignment, I want clarity and alignment? Or was it more of a like sort of unconscious exploration?
I absolutely wanted clarity and alignment. I didn't equate necessarily that, you know, making the decision to go on this adventure, I now can look back and understand that some deep part of me signed up for this. Because I didn't actually quite understand what I signed up for until it was too late. And the whole thing was paid for. And then the training plan was sent out. And I was like, wait, what? Did this actually say this? You know, and there was like this line that I didn't remember reading, which was like, this mountain will break you, right?
You're like, wait, I don't want to be broken.
And you know, I really stepped up. When I realized that I was in, I stepped up and I decided to show up for what needed to happen for me to be prepared physically. But on the volcano, it was very much a mental game, even though the physical was really important. So I can't remember what your question was. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. I think that's actually a good point to go to Alyssa, and maybe let's, and we'll come back to you, Catherine. But Alyssa, reflect back on where you were 1 year ago. I was just actually saying before we hopped on with everyone that I had recently listened to both of their episodes from a year ago. And for you, Alyssa, I felt like there was just hints of things that you really had no idea yet how things were going to unfold. And then now so much has happened. And I would love for you to reflect back on that.
Yeah, well, a year ago, I was in this space, ironically, that I'm sitting in right now, which is at the time I had made the decision that I wanted to sell Mini Miosh, which is not an easy decision. I had started down the path of having conversations with people and one particular buyer who did end up being the person who acquired the company. But a year ago, I really had no idea how that was going to unfold, because when you are entering into a sale of a company, you often hear about, like, it just so often doesn't happen. it just goes sideways so much of the time when you're going through the due diligence process and when they're like looking at it and you're trying to negotiate and all of the things. It's a very complicated, arduous process, which everybody had warned me about. And yet I was so clear at that point that it had to happen for me and my life, because I was really at a point where I could not continue to do the business. I just could not continue to do the business. And I don't know if anybody can relate to that feeling of just doing something that at one point in time brought you so much joy and energy and excitement and passion, and now no longer does. And actually feels almost the opposite to that. It feels like it's actually taking life from you. And I had been feeling that way for quite some time. I shared about this when I did my talk last week. And it was a really, really difficult process to go through that because I had put so much time and energy and love into building my company. And it was such a journey, but it really felt to me like that journey was meant to come to completion. And then once you've made that decision, which I had sometime around sort of March of last year, so just over a year ago, I had sort of made this decision, like, I'm ready to let go. I'm ready to let go. And I was like, universe, I'm ready to let go. So show me the path to like how I can move on from this. This beautiful thing and let it go with love. And I had so much fear and so much uncertainty around how that process was all going to unfold, but also just like really kept trying to come back to a sense of trust and a sense of faith in that I'm being guided, I'm being supported, and this is for like the highest good for me and for all. And so like it's clear the path is unfolding. It's just not clear as to how it's all gonna unfold. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like actually still how I feel a year later in a lot of ways, even though I did move through that and the company did end up selling and I did end up exiting, which was what I wanted. And here I am a year later on a new venture and sort of stepping into something that's been calling me for a while, but still with not total clarity or certainty of the how and the what and that all of that part. I think that, like, you know, I was listening to a podcast yesterday about the hero's journey, this Joseph Campbell concept of when we feel called to do something or we are, you know, really starting to listen to what is true and real for us and step into that. And I think that can happen at various points in our life, but I think sometimes it often happens maybe at this point in life. When we've done things and experienced things and we've learned a lot and we are feeling called to something new, something that maybe is
aligned to like what we've always wanted to do on some level, but never felt possible for us. Or we just felt like we, you know, had to have other responsibilities or whatever it was. And walking that path is like just not an easy thing. It's just not an easy thing. It's messy. It's uncomfortable. There's fear that comes with it. There's self-doubt. And it doesn't really matter how much you've done, how much you've experienced, how much success you've had. When you are stepping into a new chapter, when you are embarking on something new, it feels daunting and sometimes pretty unclear. And I also, like, I'm sitting in this space of, which is Kind Human Club, which is something that had been brewing and percolating and coming to me for several years prior to selling Mini Miash. And when I sold Mini Miash, like, I didn't know if I was going to do anything with Kind Human Club. I didn't know if what that was meant to be, if whatever, but I decided to keep that intellectual property and I decided to keep this space. And it was because I really felt called to build community. That's really what it came down to, was building community and creating opportunities for people to be in connection and sort of have, you know, offerings for learning and growth and connection and community and transformation and healing with a focus on well-being and what that really looks like in this world that we're living in. And I think, you know, that has been calling to me for a very long time and felt like what I am meant to do in this world is like step into this role and help people on their journey. But how I meant to do that exactly, I'm still figuring that part out, you know, and that is like coming sort of organically through various things. And I have such an interest in all of the different healing modalities. And, you know, Catherine and I have been on this journey together for like 15 years now. When I met Catherine, she was pregnant with her daughter, who I think is in grade 9. So she's like 14, 15, but you were pregnant. So like 15 years. And, you know, Catherine has been such an inspiration to me, as has Kena. And, but I've known Catherine longer. She's been on this journey with me like for almost twice as long. And, you know, Catherine has really been so instrumental for me in introducing me to healing, to what it looks like to step into things and embrace different modalities and different ways of doing things and different wellness practices that I would not necessarily have been introduced to. But she's always been on this path of healing and transformation and expansion and growth. And that has been so incredible for me to be witness of and to be walking alongside her on this path. And, you know, she's just played such an instrumental role in this journey. And you have as well, Kena. I mean, I always have felt like the three of us have been brought together for a reason, truly. And so, you know, from a year to now, it's like so much has changed in my life. I mean, I let go of this company that I sold, you know, built for 16 years. I started doing something completely new. I took on physical space. I took on second physical space. I started building community around allowing people to hold their own things here and do offer different practices around wellness. And it's a lot, honestly. Yeah. It's a lot. And it's been incredible and beautiful and challenging and all of the things, all of the things.
All of the things.
All of the things. And but it is pretty crazy how much has changed in the year in my
life. Yeah, so much has changed and you've created something so beautiful. Alyssa, do you feel when you look back a year ago and, you know, you obviously went through the sale of your business and then also kind of climbing your own mountain in a way by starting this new business. Did you have the intention then of like wanting to move into more of this community building and in real life experiences? Did you have that? Did you set out with that intention?
You know, since I was like in my 20s, I've been obsessed with personal growth, like obsessed, like, you know, reading things, looking at things, like got my hands on The Secret, told everybody in my world that they needed to watch The Secret, started practicing The Secret, like went to Landmark, went to Strategic Coach. Like, you know, I just was always obsessed with like, how do we live better? How do we show up better? How do we have more expansive life? So what are people who are having these incredible lives doing that's different from other people that's allowing for that? What are the practices they're adopting? What are the mindset things that they're doing? And I think that ultimately, like, that is the work I've been always called to do. And I remember, like, Jack Canfield, who wrote The Success Principles, which is one, like, an amazing book on personal growth. He had this, like, train the trainer thing back in, like, I don't know, whatever. He still does it, I think. But it's, like, basically where you get to go and, like, work with Jack Canfield and learn how to, like, teach what Jack Canfield teaches. And I remember, like, being maybe, like, in my 30s, running Mini Miosh, having the agency and being, like, I want to do that. Like, I want to go work with Jack Canfield. I want to like be able to teach people this stuff, right? And I didn't do it because it was expensive and I had two businesses and I had kids and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Just a bunch of but little
it's just like,
things.
That is like that thing yeah. that just doesn't go away.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Totally.
And it's like, it's like that always that thing that's inside of you that's like, and I've always felt like I've been that person for the people in my life. I've always been the person who's like, well, let's like, how can we think about this differently? And what are you doing that's like not in service of where you want to go? And like having those conversations sort of from a informal coaching standpoint. And so I think like all of this has been brewing for many, many, many years. And it all like feels a little discombobulated right now, if I'm being completely honest, because I haven't had a beat to kind of process and like, because I had this physical space when I had Mini Miosh and I sold the business and then I decided to keep the space, which the new
you had it
was
right
okay.
away.
I had it right away. And then it was almost like, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing to pay for this?
Yeah.
Space?
Yeah.
Have a rent. What? And then this other space came up and like all of this happened very organically, but it put sort of this like pressure and timeline on me to be like jumping into the next thing very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so like that piece is interesting for me because it feels like on the one hand, sometimes it feels like not great that I've been put, like that I've been put into a position where I have to figure this all out. And it also feels like on the flip side, the universe saying, you're meant to do this, Alyssa. We're showing you that you are. So like, you're going to figure this out.
Yes.
That is what you're here to do. And if you didn't have this pressure and if you didn't have all this happening, you might be like waffling along over here going like, ah. And you know, I sometimes feel like I am waffling along, but with the slight sense of sort of like urgency around, you can't waffle too much. You're now on a path of like, what are you stepping into? And, you know, when you are on this journey, sometimes you make decisions or sometimes you're in it and you're like, oh my God, like, what did I do? Like, what am I doing? Like, where is this going? Like, how is this going to work out? Like, that is real. And it's like, I think coming back to that continuous listening to what is there, what is true for you, and just following the breadcrumbs around like, where could this lead to? And I think part of the process for me is around like detaching on some level from what I thought this all was, because I'd had ideas around all of this when I still had Mini Miosh and I was trying to morph that business into something that was more in service of all of this. And then in the end decided, that doesn't feel like the right thing. I think I need to let this go in order to step into this new chapter in this way. And so, yeah, like that, I don't know, that's kind of where things are at right now in terms of like, it's also around detaching from what something has to look like or be
Yes.
Because maybe it's not that, it doesn't mean it's not right.
Like, yeah.
It's clear that you are following the path, but the way that path is unfolding and like that becomes like a control thing, right? Like we think it has to be for it to work or be successful. And then like being like, maybe that's not the way and starting to think about it from a different place has also been a part of this process for me.
Yeah. And I think that like, you know, clarity can sometimes, you know, you're struggling for a long time with it and then it can come like at the top of a mountain, but clarity can also come in like little glimpses and little nudges and I'm confused. Okay, no, now I'm clear. And then it can kind of be more of an unfolding as well. And so I think that that's such an interesting thing when I hear both of your stories. And one of the things that I think is common, right, is like looking back over the last year, you both had an intention, maybe not a clear intention, but an intention of how you wanted to grow and what you wanted to see evolve in your life and in your businesses. But it was, you know, messy and it was uncomfortable at times and it was difficult at times. But I think that in among all those difficult times, there was also those highs, right? Like those moments of clarity or those moments of aha, or the moment of the universe has my back. And like, this is a sign. And I know this because I've had hundreds of conversations with both of you just over the past year where it's been, oh my God, this happened. And this is so difficult. And guys, this happened. Like, it's a sign, you know? And so I would love if you could maybe reflect back on that. Catherine, let's start with you. And maybe like a moment that was a really difficult moment for you so that we can, you know, kind of be brought along on that journey with you. And then a moment where you just felt, as I think you've said, guided, like you felt supported and guided and you weren't alone.
Sure. I mean, I think the word that comes to mind for me that is, you know, that shows up is grace. Right. That has been always the pattern of I'm lost and dazed and confused. And it just, I feel trapped in all this. And then there's grace. Right. And then back in there and like, and then there's grace again. Right. And I think that, you know, the first experience of this was when I found myself, you know, addicted to heroin for 3.5 years and like in this, like, you know, situation in my life that I couldn't believe that I was in. And then there was grace and this desire to this desire that had been this monster on my back for the last 3.5 years was lifted, you know, and it was something that was inexplicable to me. But that was the spark for me that started my healing journey, because I knew that I was gifted something that I didn't know why I was gifted it until years later when I could see it connected with my business. Right. And initially, the business was really a way for me to address my emotional pain, because the emotional pain had come back. And so the journey has been one of my own healing and empowerment. And the business was the way that I stepped into my empowerment very slowly, just not giving up on myself and just taking the next step and taking the next step and being able to see that over time, those little steps were adding up to me healing and transforming, right? And then the next experience was when I decided to share publicly the story of my addiction and the experience of grace in my business as part of the brand story. And that was a scary thing to do, but it felt very much like a calling, right? And the backstory behind that was, you know, on my journey of healing, I had taken up a meditation practice that I was, you know, that really continues to be the foundation of everything I do. And in that, I had these nudges that I wanted to share about my healing journey, and I didn't know how. And a situation presented itself, and I made the decision, you know what? I want to share about everything, not just my history of my addiction. I want to share about, you know, the things that I struggle with and what I, you know, the celebrations, but also how hard it is to be an entrepreneur, right? And I want to start with the story of addiction. And when I shared that, it was the next moment of grace, right? Which is that the outpouring of response that I received from, you know, friends and strangers, right? That there was a unmasking that happened and a human to human connection that fed a part of me that was like so starving for that, right? And from that point on, I kind of went into another darkness, which is I have a greater purpose here, but I also have this business and I know they're tied together, but I don't know how to put them together, right? And you know, had been waiting in that, you know, for many years. And, you know, as I had mentioned, you know, the last few years have really just been very much a struggle to just keep my head above water, right? And there have been so many other moments, but sometimes, you know, the experience of life that I you know, have personally navigated is sometimes it's just really hard and you have to just put your one foot in front of the other until grace appears, right? And I went through that with my mother's death during the pandemic. And you know, there's glimpses, right? And last year for me, you know, when I was in a very, very difficult place with the business and I decided to sign up for this climb, I didn't associate this again as like the next thing, right? Until I can look back and go, wow, like this was actually what was meant for me to embody the next step. Mm-hmm. And the next step for me was, you know, I'd spent many years healing, you know, on a mental level and then on a spiritual level. But this was like actually like physical embodiment of my power, right? And it was a very masculine type of energy that I have never stepped into the masculine, right? And it's like the pieces are coming together, right? Of the pieces of empowerment, body, mind, and spirit. And yeah, I mean, I think I can describe, you know, so many moments of grace on that volcano, right? Where, you know, I did not feel like I was alone. I felt very much that I was being supported every step of the way. You know, even to the degree of who I was climbing with, I was roped to my partner, Adrian, and the two of us had been brought together. And she was there healing from her own grief of losing a really good friend a few months prior, you know, and we were climbing this volcano. And as I had mentioned, like once your body is in line, like if my body had been sick, right, if I had altitude sickness, or if I, you know, something, if I had hurt myself and I had to stop, I would have had to stop, right? But the body was fine. It was just really complaining because it's like you're on a treadmill and you're like going hard and you just have to keep going. And it's just saying like, stop, stop, this is horrible, stop, right? And yet it's fine. And so what needs to come into line next is the mind, right? And to overcome that sense of like, the body's not in control, the mind is in control, and I am fine. And just in this moment, I can take another step. In this moment, I can take another breath. And it's like pure presence, right? And then there was the grace part of it, which is, you know, I surrendered completely to whether or not I was going to summit, right? It was like anything could happen. The weather could change, like anything, right? And it was like, it wasn't about summiting. It was just about being present for this step and then the next step and the next step. And it was really only until I got to the last 7/8 of the mountain. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning and we summited at 8 a.m. and we'd started at midnight. It was really only at 7 o'clock in the morning that I actually got in touch with that feeling of, I'm going to summit. Like up until that point, I didn't believe that I was going to summit. I told myself that I didn't care, that it wasn't about summiting. Right? That I was just going to do my best. And, you know, to a degree that was true. But then when I got in touch with that sense of I am doing this, right? And like, there was nothing that was going to stop me. That was a very empowering moment, right? Because up until that point, I wasn't really like, I didn't really believe that I had it in me, right? So that visceral sense of my own power has been so instrumental in a way that meditation hasn't been, right? Which is really interesting to me, right? Like in meditation, I can create these states of wholeness that are, you know, quite reliable, but very out of body, right? It's like this altered state. But, you know, bring me back into the, you know, environment of, you know, a stressful situation at work. Right. I cannot connect to that state. It's just gone, yeah. Right? And I've never been able to, and I wish that I could. But with this experience, I can access that sense of power, that sense of I have this power within me, and I can actually feel it and like connect to it, right? So that did feel like it was a missing key that I received on this experience.
Oh, I love that. That's so incredible. And I mean, a lot of things stood out to me as you were speaking, but that sense of nothing can stop me, that sense that you got when you were 7/8 up the mountain and you said, and you knew that you were going to do it. Like, that's incredible, right? Because I think it does remind us the strength that we have within us and that we have access to, but sometimes it takes really pushing ourselves into those situations to dig that deep, right? Or to connect to that, like to that, the presence, but then also that sense of a higher power that is coming in to help us push right. past that zone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful, Catherine. Alyssa. I would love for you to share as well your, you know, like obviously I know that there's been a lot of tough things in the last year for you as well, you know. But I also can like recall those text messages or the voice messages where you're sharing where you really felt like, you know, things were coming together. So could you maybe share some of that from your
Yeah. Life? I mean, this year has really been a roller coaster. And I think that like for maybe, you know, people who are like, I think this is just a challenging time of life in general when you are parenting and dealing with your kids and they're getting older. And then you're also dealing with aging parents, sick parents. This sandwich generation is intense. And then add work and all the other stuff on top of it. And that was definitely this past year for me. My mom has basically been in the hospital for almost half of this past year now, I would say, close to, with different issues, health-related issues. And, you know, fortunately, knock on wood, like my parents were always really healthy. I have both my parents still until this year. And then all of a sudden, things just went like this. And it was all at the same time that I was dealing with these huge changes in my life and selling my company. And it was really overwhelming. Really overwhelming at times, for sure. And I mean, I'm so, so grateful to both you and Catherine because you have been a huge support. And really, that's the biggest thing when we're going through challenging times is like to have people around you who get it, who have also been through hard stuff, who are like able to hold you up when you need it, are able to, you know, show to you that like there is another side to this, like you will get through this. And both of you have been such a support and inspiration to me through this past very challenging year. And there have been also so many incredible moments, right? Like so many amazing things have happened where I did feel like I was being held and guided along the way through this whole process, which is, and like, they're not, I mean, one, for example, was like, you know, it always had, I think part of why Mini Miosh started to feel really not so aligned for me is because through the pandemic, I made decisions to simplify the business and move things online and have it be really focused on e-commerce and kind of shut down stores that had leases ending and just it was too much. I didn't want to do it anymore. Managing it all was too much. I wasn't ready to let go of the whole thing. And so that's what I had done in the years prior to leading up to the sale. But ultimately, it's what ended up happening is that it felt less and less aligned for me because it was now an e-commerce business. And I am a people person. Like, I love people. I love human connection. I love being in the energy of others. And that was always such a huge part of everything that I always did in my career. And now it felt like it was almost non-existent. And so that was really the calling to create space and have a place where people can gather and experience connection. And, you know, like I said, I took on this Clubhouse space, and then there was a guy living upstairs. This is like a mixed use residential commercial building, but there was a man living upstairs who was like not well mentally and was like had a lot of issues and wreaked a lot of havoc on the neighborhood. He used to feed the pigeons outside of his windows, and the pigeons would be flying in and out of his windows, basically lived in his apartment, and the police were involved and the city was involved, and it was like a real whole thing. And I was directly below, and there was always like bird crap all over the windows. And it really meant that I couldn't do much in this space because of everything that was happening in and above the space. But I kind of was like, okay, it's all right. We'll just like sit this out, because at the time my mom was at an inpatient treatment facility in Guelph at Homewood because she had a mental health issue. And I was going back and forth to Guelph a lot. And I really didn't have the time or energy to focus on anything other than supporting her and supporting my dad. I'm an only child, and supporting my kids and looking after my family. And so it really didn't feel like the time to be worrying about building something new, thinking about all of that. And then in November, late November, this neighbor from upstairs who they had been trying to evict for almost 2 years just gave his notice and upped and left. Which was really weird, because it was almost like the universe saying like, okay, here, this was a whole block as to like what you could do. And it was right around the time that my mom got out of Homewood. And so it sort of all coincided as it felt like this opening, it felt like this gift. And I look for signs, right? Like, I'm not sure. And then all of a sudden it's like, my mom is doing better. She gets out. The universe is like, this guy's just going to leave. And a couple of weeks after that, I went upstairs just to take a look at the space. And I walked in, and I'd always had this vision of having like a space that was like a studio space where you could do meditation, breath work, cacao ceremony, dance, like all these things that I love to do that have been such an instrumental part of my own healing journey and have brought me so much joy and fulfillment, that I wanted to be able to offer those to people. And so I took the space, and I didn't really think that much about it. Honestly, I just was like, I can't say no to this. Like, this just feels too aligned. And that space opened in March. And since that space is open, there have been tons of things happening. Tanya, who's on this call, who has is a yoga instructor and had a studio space on Sororan, has been teaching yoga every weekend. And there's been all women's dance parties. There's been cacao. There's been actually like a lot of different healing energetic work. Like, we did a soulful session where we started to build. Like, I don't know where it's all going, right? Like, but what has happened over the last number of months as I've been in creation of this is that when it's flowing, it feels so freaking good.
Yeah.
Right. And like, it is not easy. Like, there's nothing about this that is easy or clear. But what is real is that when you're doing something that feels aligned and mission driven and meaningful to you, it feels so good. And that is like when you get the tastes of those along the way, that experience and that feeling, that's what keeps you going, has been my experience. And, you know, right before this, like, so my mom is back in the hospital, and, you know, I got a call right before this that she is like, maybe going to have, she's at a rehab hospital. She might have to go back to Sunnybrook because there's some complications. Like, the truth is, like, life is not easy. It's never ending, hard shit. And that's what it feels like, right? Like, it's just like, and, you know, every moment, it's like, I just am having a bit of a reprieve. And then it's like, yep, no, you're not. And so I feel like going back to what Catherine was saying about grace is like, it really feels like this is about learning how to navigate life and hardship and challenge without getting so rocked by it, is really what this is all feeling like. And what are the tools? What are the resources? What are the things that help us do that? Like, that is sort of like what is coming through for me. Like, how do I look after myself first, so that I can continue to show up for the other people in my life, right? It's like the reality is if I go down, that's not good. And so I think, you know, it's been just a whole mix of all of the things this year, all of the tests and all of the tests of trust and faith and surrender, quite honestly. Like, that is what it has felt like. And I really feel like the thing that has helped me the most through all of this is being surrounded by other people who are like holding my hand. Like, I just need to be around other people who have like got me and to not feel alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that is like where this desire to create community for me comes from, is because I feel like we're all going through challenging things and we're all trying to figure out how to navigate things with more grace and ease and flow and fun, even when it's hard. Mm-hmm. Like, find the fun, even when it's hard. Like, and that is what it feels like the universe is like testing me so that I am having to learn so that I can be in support of others because I've experienced it firsthand.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Thanks, Melissa. I want to move into question mode soon. So if anybody has any questions, you can feel free to pop those in the chat now. And you can also unmute and hop on camera or off camera, doesn't matter. We just want to hear from you. But before, so if you want to start putting those in the chat now, that would be great. And I want to ask Alyssa and Catherine each one more question before we move into Q&A. So Catherine, I want to ask if you could share one lesson that you've learned in the past year that you yourself don't want to forget. You know, a lesson that you've learned that we can, that we'll all benefit from, that you yourself don't want to forget.
Well, I actually always forget this.
Well, there we go. Then that's perfect. You'll record it on the podcast. You won't forget it.
You know, the clarity is blocked by fear, right? And oftentimes, there has to be a certain amount of like stripping away the layers before you see that, like, oh, it's just fear, right? And this understanding that, like, we really do know what is true and right for us. Like, we can just feel it, right? But a lot of times, because that's, you know, complicated by just the fear and whatever we're blocked with in our body, it doesn't seem like we know what the answer is, right? Learning how to trust that I do know, right? And being willing to do the hard things to get there, to me, is that lesson, right? Because moment of clarity, that download in the first day after I was back. Mm-hmm. It was so obvious. It was so obvious that what I wanted, right? Like, and it was like, I knew this all along, but why was that so hard, you know?
And it I had to climb a 20,000 foot mountain to see this.
Exactly, right? And, you know, truly, it's about what makes my heart sing? What, like, excites me, right? And that's a real red, like it's a beacon, right? That is like, go there, yeah. Right? Even if it comes with, yeah, but you know, no, you can't do that because of whatever, right? Like that's where you're going anyways, eventually, when you, you know, so
That's true. Are you going to go straight there? Or are you going to take the windiest path possible? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. Alyssa, how about for you?
I think similarly, the biggest lesson for me this last year has been around self-trust and in listening, and also that, like, it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks. Like, I think I've been always quite consumed with like the optics of things. And like, if I change my mind, I'm going to look flaky. Or like, if I undo what I've done, what are people going to think? Like, there's all this noise outside of us that can sometimes play into us staying on a path that is not the right path for us, for various reasons. And I think what I've been learning this last year is like, nobody cares as much as you think. Like, nobody is paying attention to what you're doing that closely, or cared if you change your mind or take a different path. Or even if they do, like, even if they are judgy because you've changed your mind 3 times in the last 6 months or whatever, and we were doing this and now you're doing that, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, because you are figuring things out for yourself, and like, I am figuring things out for myself. And the only way that I can do that is by trying things. Mm-hmm. It's just, I got to try it. And by trying things, it's like, yep, nope, that's right, that's not right. And so, yeah, it feels a little like all over the place. And to me, I'm like quite often looking at like feeling like I look like a crazy person. What are people thinking about me? Like, I'm all over the place. And I think you just got to be all over the place at sometimes. And at this stage of the journey, when you're feeling called, you know that there's something there, but you're not quite sure. It's like you literally figure it out by trying. Taking action, doing things, right? And it may not feel great and some things may work out, but they're not failures. Like, nothing is a failure in my opinion. And like, that's like a lesson that I've really learned, is like every single thing that I've done has been a learning.
Yes.
Like every single thing has been like, what am I taking from that and applying to the next thing? I'm getting closer. I'm defining, I'm refining, all of that. And it's like, trust yourself, because you know. And even like, sometimes I think that when things don't work out, that becomes a question of like, oh shit, like, can you trust yourself? Because maybe you should have known better, right? Yeah. Like, maybe you should have known that wasn't going to work out. But it's like, no. Right? Like,
you need to go. That's right. You have to trust even then. It's like actually even more important that you trust when things aren't working out, right? because that's the path you needed to go on to learn what you needed to learn next. I love that, Alyssa. Thank you. And I know some people resonated with that in the chat. There's like a Carl Jung quote that I love that I've shared on Instagram a few times. And it's basically says, life begins at 40. Until then, you're just doing research. And I really love that quote, mostly because I think people think the opposite. Like, I think they think like when you're in your 40s, it means you've got it all lined up and all figured out, you know, and 40s and beyond, that you've got it all figured out. But really, for a lot of us, the journey to who we are, what we want, how we want to contribute, what our purpose is, that like may not start until your 40s, right? And so it's, are we willing to say yes to that and go on that journey, or are we just wanting to stay in our shell? And one of the things that I often say is that every path is hard, right? It's like, if you imagine yourself like saying, well, I'm going to go over here and get a job. And I know this because I've been on both of those paths. And it's like, you could say, I'm going to go do this and I'll be safe. And, you know, I will just like report to my boss and I'll do my 9 to 5 and I will just do the best job I can. And I'll feel safe and I'll feel relaxed and it won't. Well, guess what? That's hard too, because there's a part of you that is longing, like screaming, you are meant to create, you are meant to express, you are meant to do all these things. And instead, you're keeping yourself confined in this little cubicle, right? And so that can be hard too. And so, you know, as much as we're talking about how taking on these new challenges and following what your heart is calling you to do is hard, the other path is also hard, right? So I think that that is like an important thing. And it's like, which hard are you choosing? Are you choosing the hard that's leading you to growth and expansion? Or are you choosing the hard that's keeping you small? Which one would you rather, right? And I think like Alyssa and Catherine, you both have really, you live this, and breathe this and constantly are choosing the hard that leads you to that place of expansion and growth and knowing yourself and coming home to yourself. And I think that's why I invited you to be on the podcast in the first place, and why I'm so happy to be having this conversation with you. And I know that everyone is getting so much from it. And now I wanted to leave you with three questions, which I'll also email out to you along with the recording. And the first one is, what is my 1 year later story? So looking back on a year ago to now, what is the story of your 1 year? And more importantly, how have I grown and evolved over the last year? Because the thing is, you know, even if nothing externally has happened that feels momentous, and maybe that actually even makes you feel like, oh, I didn't really do that much this year, it's not necessarily about external changes. It's more so about how you have grown and evolved and gotten in closer touch with you and what it is that you want and who you want to become. And so I want you to explore that question with that angle as well, and also celebrate the wins. If there are any external wins, external things that you've, you know, accomplished or let go of, I want you to include that when you're answering the question. The second question is, what do I want to manifest over the coming year? And manifest is really just about bringing your desires to life, right? So not to get tripped up in that word, but like, what desires do I want to bring to life over the coming year? And what do I want my next year's 1 year later story to be? So if you imagine us gathering again together 1 year from now, what would you want to be sharing? I think that's the next question. And then the last question is, how do I need to grow and evolve to make that happen? Because in the end, it's not really about the things that we want. It's about who we're becoming on our journey. And there is, I think, a inherent sort of longing within each of us to feel like we are stepping into all we are and to fully express who we are and to be our authentic selves out in the world and to be giving our gifts freely and to contribute to others by just being our full selves. Wasn't that just a wonderful, deep, authentic conversation? I mean, we got real, right? I want to thank you again for listening to my 50th episode of Be All You Are. And when I think about my own 1 year later story, it is so expansive and so epic. And I am dreaming big dreams for the podcast and for what I want to create for all you are and how I want to serve you and make space for you to step into your big, expansive dreams. And so let's go on this journey together. Join me for 2 weeks' notice. We begin on Monday, May 13th. You can go to allyouare.ca/2-weeks-notice, or scroll down, click the link, sign up. I will see you on Monday, May 13th. We're going to have an incredible week together. It is spring. We're going to do some spring, internal spring cleaning, and we are going to prepare for stepping into all we are. So I will see you then. And thank you so much for listening to my 50th podcast episode. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.